evening. I'd like to welcome you to the February 15th, 2024 Board of Commissioners meeting of Maricopa County. And if you please rise and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Here.
Commissioner Aarons?
Here.
Commissioner Mapes?
Here.
Commissioner Ginnell?
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Koontz?
Here.
Thank you. Next item is the approval of the agenda as presented.
Chairman, before we approve that, there is one item I'd like to discuss. It would probably take 2 or 3 minutes. Maybe we could do it under unfinished business.
What is that, sir?
Pardon me?
What is the item?
I'd like to talk briefly about the Trace Adkins concert on August 21st.
If there are no objections, we'll put that under unfinished business.
No objection.
Hearing none, is there approval of the agenda as amended with the addition of the Trace Adkins discussion?
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Next, we have the minutes of February 5th, 2024. Looking for a motion to approve.
I'll make the motion.
No motion. Is there support?
No, thank
you. Motion is support. Any discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnell?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
We are now to that part of the meeting for public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board has 3 minutes. Please come to the podium and state your name. Second call for any public comment. Seeing no public comment, we're now to a portion of appearances. Mr. Aarons is Veterans Affairs, so I'll let you do the introduction.
Walking to the mic is the Director of Veterans Services. Jeff Urban.
Good evening. So, like Neil said, Jeff Urban from the Emma County Veteran Affairs. Just like to give you guys a yearly update of the Veteran Affairs Office, what we've been up to, what we're doing, and what we're looking forward to the next year. If you could, next slide, please, Adam. Just briefly, I know we kind of went over this last year, but I do like to kind of give you guys an idea every time we kind of do this of what we do, what we're doing, what we can provide. So, just a real quick touch and base on everything. Giving veterans benefit assistance, doing the requesting of their DD-214s, disabilities, pensions, health care, as well as other things. You know, it doesn't have to be VA related. They can come in with another application from somewhere else, another organization. We can help them read it. We can help them fill it out, whatever it may be. We're here for them. So that we're definitely still doing that. Emergency grant assistance, so our Soldier Sailor Fund and our donation account, we do allow veterans to come in and ask for a grant to actually help veterans or their families in emergency cases. That could be anywhere from, you know, they need a new furnace, they need a car fix. There are some stipulations in there that they need to meet, but that is there for them to actually get from us, from the office. Communications, obviously we do, you know, a lot of newsletters, a lot of Facebook, a lot of social media stuff that we put out there, making sure our county veterans know what's going on, what we're doing, what benefits are out there, as well as events and gatherings. We are doing more events and gatherings, such as our social coffee hour, after-hour events. So, you know, younger veterans are getting in touch with us as well. We're seeing a lot of younger veterans not wanting to come to us because they think they can do it themselves. Their buddies are telling them how to do their benefits. So we are going out a little bit and stretching our legs after hours to get a hold of the younger veterans. Next slide, please. So, some numbers here for you. I know it's kind of fun looking at numbers, but let's go ahead and that first one there. Last year, we lost about 103 veterans, unfortunately, in the county, and we're not seeing any come back. So we're seeing a lot of veteran loss in the county, unfortunately. We're seeing a lot of younger veterans not moving to the area, which is concerning. While we are still seeing a growth in our office, we're seeing a growth in older veterans, and then also we're losing our veterans. So our veteran population, unfortunately, is shrinking in the county. We saw 366 veterans last year. I should say we helped 366 veterans last year with pensions, disability, health care. So that was pretty good. That was about 30 more than last year. So we're doing pretty good there with veterans assisted in there. The next one I'm actually pretty proud of. So unfortunately, the VA comes out with only the prior year. So you're going to see 2022 number on there. So we actually, last year, or 2021, we actually did $19,924,000 in benefits. So, and then in 2022, we did $23,815,000. So that was a $3.8 million extra for our benefits in income this year, or in 2022. So that was pretty good. That was a big jump between years. Veterans in our monthly newsletter, so we gained about 101 veterans that are actually getting our newsletters and getting you know, our reports, not the VA reports, of what they should be looking at for our county, our benefits in our area. So it's not just federal, it's local stuff. We went up 1% for success rate. Last year we did 92 for disability claims, pensions, and health care. This year, or last year, 93%. So still doing pretty good, you know, trying to reach that 95-100%. Obviously, it's never going to happen. If, you know, veterans know, VA is very hard to work with. They always say, you know, the first claim never wins. Try again. So we are still reaching our 95-100% success rate, but we're getting there. Excuse the error, the next one, the 7,846, that was actually last year's number. That's my fault. We actually spent $11,784 in grant money to support veterans in the area. So we actually almost depleted our whole Soldier Sailor Fund grant money last year. So that was really good to actually use it all. We actually have a $50,000 grant from the state as well that we're utilizing with buying books for veterans for benefits. We're doing events, ads for the events. And also the biggest thing, too, we went from a part-time VSO to a full-time VSO with benefits. So that was huge to have a VSO in the office with me to actually support, you know, anyone else that's coming in. They, you know, they don't have to wait. Someone can answer phones.
What's VSO?
Veteran Service Officer. I apologize. Yeah, Veteran Service Officer. So she is actually accredited with everyone else just like me. She can do benefits, pensions, everything. So if I'm with a veteran at the time, she can also help out and answer phones and everything. So that's been a big help. The big thing this year is we're actually going full digital. Anything that we have seen in the last 10 years that we have documents on or paper copies, we are scanning it in and making it fully digital in our software. So we can access it at any point, any time. It just makes it easier. And in case anything happens in the office, fire, flood, whatever, we still have those files. So that's going to be the big goal this year, is digitizing the full office with the last 10 years of records. Next slide, please. So just to break down the grant that we're actually getting through the state, I kind of went over it in our last slide, but just to give you an idea, we had the part-time VSO, Veteran Service Officer, to a full-time position with benefits, events and media outreach for these outreach for these events. So we're doing a lot of ads on Facebook, newspapers, stuff like that to actually put it out there like, hey, come to our coffee hour, come to our veterans breakfast, come to our benefits dinner, stuff like that. So that's been good. Benefit booklets and handouts to veterans. So we actually were able to get federal booklets from the actual VA. And unfortunately, they don't give those out to anyone. We actually have to buy them. So it's been nice to actually have benefit booklets to hand out to veterans that don't want to sit there and talk to us. They rather just grab and go. So that's been nice to have to give to veterans that just aren't up to talking yet. Office cell phone wireless hotspot, always good for house calls. When we do house calls, we are able to actually use our laptops, get on that software I was talking about, that we're digitizing everything and able to have pretty much a remote office. The only thing we're still working on is additional office printer. I know me and Tatum have talked about this a little bit, and we're still working on that. So we'll get there eventually, but I know it's been kind of the back burner. So that is yet to be purchased, but we're still working on it. Other than that, any questions, concerns on the office or what we're doing, what we're looking forward to, you know, the next year or so?
Where do you get the money from for the officer, the Sailors Fund?
The Soldier Sailor Fund? Actually, that comes from the general fund. It is supposed to be a millage. I think, Pam, correct me if I'm wrong, 0.01 of the millage is actually It's supposed to be a millage, but we get it from the general fund. $12,000 is what we usually get out of the general fund each year. Last year, we had, I think, $200 left, which was good. So we're not just sitting on it. We're definitely using it.
Well, you mentioned that it's just about depleted, and I was just wondering, you know, how does it get refreshed?
It gets refreshed every year, and we do have a donation account that's sitting pretty good, and we're sitting about $9,000 in the donation account right now. So if anything would have happened, we can definitely use the donation account as well. Okay. The thing is with the Soldier Sailor Fund, you have to be a wartime vet to actually use it. So we thought that was a little unfair. So we started this donation account years ago using it as a, we know you don't have, you know, wartime, you don't only have a day of wartime. Let's get in the donation account. We'll use the same process, but, you know, that's unfair. We should be able to help everyone out. So it's been good.
Any other questions?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Boyer.
Thank you. I've got my update. You'll see that we currently have 8 positions open within the county. Continue to try to hire to those positions. I won't go over the planning. I gave an update. I'm sure you guys will do that. Parks and Recreation, due to the warmer weather and the ice concerns, we did cancel the fishing tournament for this weekend. Even though the weather's getting a little bit colder, the ice is not safe at this time. The airport, I think the last time we reported that we had some equipment failures. Everything is up and working. And I'm happy to report that the new fire rescue truck is at the airport right now. We went out and looked at it today. It's quite a machine. We have a 2-day training starting next week, so no one can utilize that until we get the training. So we have people coming out. We'll go through all the systems. We are still going through on what type of fire suppression unit we will be putting in it. And until we make that determination, we won't put anything in it. We'll continue to use the older truck.
Have you named it yet? That's quite a beast there.
I don't know if there's a name on it.
The bug. It's like a bug.
It's like a big lemon.
And it's what's nice about this compared to our old vehicle. One, if you look at that windshield, you have a beautiful view out of the front. The other one was more like a tank. We have 2 turrets on this, one lower level and then the one up on top, which is nice. Inside control systems there. Our old turret still that we're using leaks, and so if you're in there, you have to put a cover over all the electronics because it pours water when you're doing it. But inside the body itself, the doors open up, and you can get into all the generator, to the tanks. It's all open and all labeled, so we know what every valve in there is labeled. It doesn't mean that we know how it works, but it's all labeled. And that's what the two-day training session will be, is to go through all those components in there and get it set up. We currently are using the older truck, which is 100% functional at this time. So
our next airport meeting, Chuck and I get to go take a ride.
I hope so. We tried to get a ride in it today, but we got a very stern letter from the manufacturer because we have not made the final payment, and they didn't even know it was shipped to us yet. So until they give us the training, we're not allowed to be in it.
Wow.
I'm saying we weren't in it, but we can't drive it yet. So, yes, at the next meeting next week, we'll be able to go down and take a look at it. Quite impressive. That is what I have for you. Oops, nope, it's not. We've got 2 bids on the street right now during the budget process. The sheriff will be replacing their 45s with 9mm. That is in the works right now. We're finishing up the bid specification on that. That will go out to bid shortly. And they are also looking at some inmate technology for the tablets, and that's going out to bid so that there is some communication inside of the jail for the people that are spending some time there.
Questions for Dave?
What happens to the old guns?
The old guns will be traded in. Okay. And we get a trade-in for that. There's a real concern about trying to put those on the market, and we're not going to do that, so we trade those in.
And the ammo, too?
The ammo gets traded in also. So we're going to go to 45s to the 9s.
Great.
And in that process, obviously, 45 ammunition is worth more than 9mm. So when we do that trade, it's based on the value of the 45 to the 9.
Okay.
Any other questions? Are you warmed up?
Not quite, but we're getting there.
Go ahead.
All right. I really don't have a lot to say about the finance report. I mean, Go ahead.
Oh, before you do that, will you pull my report up? I'm sorry. There's two other documents in my report that came in from the college on where they are on their child care initiative. So there's two reports in there. This is their January update, and the other document that was presented is kind of their goals and objectives. So this is their update, and the other one is the goals and objectives. So I apologize for not doing that. I'm saying that.
Okay, you ready? I don't have much of an update. As you know, we're only 1 month into the new year. So all I can tell you at this point is we are on target and on budget. And everything is, you know, posted out here. So if anybody has any questions about what I've presented, I'm open for questions. Oh, yes, the audit process. Hopefully we'll have everything to the auditors by the end of next week, and they will start March 9th. So, and the CHIL grant was submitted on Monday.
Good.
So we will wait to hear on that.
Any questions for Pam?
We're waiting for approval on that grant, or the money?
Waiting on approval, yes.
Any other questions for Pam? Okay, we move on to unfinished business. Mr. Lapa, Trace Atkins.
Yes, thank you. When that came up at the last meeting, I had read the hard copy of the contract, and when I saw the $125,000, I was a little bit concerned about that, and so I thought I would call Agnes Shaw and pick her brain. I talked to her on February 3rd on Saturday, and she assured me that we can handle up to 3,000 people. Between the grandstands and what she calls the floor. I don't know if she's talking about the racetrack or the infield or accommodation. But after we passed that contract last week, I noticed that Mr. Boyer asked her to cut it off at 2,000 tickets. And I called her again this week to follow up with that. And she said we should not really be concerned about overflow parking. She told me something I didn't know. She said we rent a farm called Fred Hinckley's Farm, and we have overflow parking there, and we even contract with the Johnson Bus Company that supplies the busing for Petoskey Schools, and they give us great service, and she can call them on short notice and arrange for more busing if needed. And I would like to recommend that we allow her to use her discretion and sell up to 3,000 tickets. She feels like she can do that. It's not too often we get a big name like Trace Atkins in Emma County.
Can we ask Mr. Boyer for your opinion?
Yeah, and the number of tickets that we've said that we're going to limit it to is 2,500 tickets, 1,000 on the floor, 1,500 in the bleachers. She's absolutely correct. We can hold 3,000 people in the bleachers. Unfortunately, we don't have the manpower, the staffing, or the parking to handle that. Last year we had 1,900 people in there, so we're adding 600 more people into the stadium. We do have parking off-site. There's approximately an acre of property that we use. She is expanding that. We will need that for the additional tickets that are being sold. I think when the committee looks at this, they determine that budget and they base it on a number of tickets. So at 2,500 tickets, we feel very confident we're going to cover the cost of all of the concert, plus the additional expenses that we have. The challenge is not getting the people in there, it's getting the people out of there. And it doesn't matter how many buses we put there, we have 2,500 people leaving that facility at the same time. And they all want to get on a bus.
Yeah, there's
a major choke point of trying to get the people out. Talking with Agnes, and I think really it's a committee. It should come back to the Fair Board, too, for discussion. But we said as we look at additional parking and have things, those numbers we can certainly look at. When you're paying that kind of money, you certainly want to have good seats. You want to have comfortable seats. You want to be able to get in. You want to be able to get out. 2,500 people, as I said, is more than we've had at any of our concerts. And I think we're going to have a great show, and we'll evaluate that if there's additional parking that comes up. But still, at the end of the night, you have 2,500 people that can that are leaving at the same time. We have we utilize state police to come in and help, but that's not dealing with traffic control as we move up, as people leave that site. We also have to think of our neighbors. We're going to be filling side streets up with parked cars, businesses that don't want us parked there, that fills that up. So we have to be, I think, conscious of the neighborhoods and the neighbors and the folks that we have there. So we're certainly open to discussion, but I think we have to be careful as we start looking at these additional, the more and more people we add to this. I think that we looked and we were talking about a concert for 5,000 people.
Sorry.
And we just don't feel we have the resources, the manpower to handle something like that. Even at 3,000, that gets a little overwhelming for us. We have two sheriffs on duty. We have state police, but it's also taxing on the city of Petoskey also.
And keep in mind that 1,900 was a record crowd last year.
Correct. Yep.
We would add 600 more people that we were not used to handling.
Plus, you've got people coming and going from the fair that may not be at the concert.
Well, the fair is open, and that's a good point. So everything that else is going on in the 4-H, we have to have parking for those people that are coming to enjoy the fair, too. It's so.
We don't want to impact them negatively either.
Well, that's right, because we won't get people to return on concert nights in the future.
Yeah.
Trace Ashkin is a big draw. We've sold 1,100 tickets so far. So I think that we have another 1,300 to sell. I think we're going to be in a good position at the end of the day.
Thank you. Any other comments? Hearing none. Claims committee and travel voucher approval. You have a motion in front of you, board members.
I move for the payment of the claims in the amount of $3,658,435.40 and for payment of the committee of travel vouchers in the amount of $8,821.70.
Second.
We have a motion to second. Any questions or discussion on the claims, vouchers, and committee? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Motion carries. All right. We're down to new business. First is Parks and Recreation work truck vehicle purchase. Mr. Boyer.
We have to give our Parks and Recreation director credit for having one of the biggest packets in here right now for one vehicle.
And for waiting the longest, too. He was here before I heard.
As you know, each year we budget for new trucks. This is replacing one with 132,000 miles. This is in the Parks and Recreation budget. We use the state bid, and they have prices. We shop around to find that, but the state prices, the state price from wherever. And we do have to go from dealership to dealership to try to find what we want. The only thing that's been added to this truck is the color of the truck. It's a red truck to match the other ones in the fleet. That's the only upgrade to this. Other than that, everything is standard option on it.
And we have the truck. It's been identified.
We've identified the truck.
We've identified the truck.
All right.
And if that falls through, then we put an order in on the state bid, which is the same, would be the same as this.
Board members?
So why is the packet so thick? What kind of options you got on there?
Ryan included everything in the state bid because he has every vehicle in here, and we have to maybe in the future just remind him we just need the pickup truck.
So is that just a standard pickup truck with an 8-foot bed, 6-foot bed? Not a crew cab or anything like that?
Standard cab, 8-foot.
But the sound system.
Multi-pulse stereo system.
We have a motion.
It's a work truck.
We have a motion in front of you, board member.
I'll second.
No,
somebody's
going to make it.
I'll move. I move that the board approve the purchase of a 2024 Ford F-150 in the amount of $39,564 and authorize the county administrator to sign all necessary documents.
Second. We have a motion to second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing done. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
We now have before us the Empirical Solutions Incorporated agreement.
We've been working with Empirical Solutions since 2020, and they're really the backbone of our system. As you read through there, you'll see some of the things that they do with their work on a network system. They're doing really all the behind scenes and building our structure out, working with our IT staff. But in their contract, what they have is developing that network and what's behind the scenes. They give us technical assistance on any upgrades that we have. They provide consulting as we look at new software products, all the security and firewalls. They're all the behind-the-scene process. They have 24-hour service. They're the remote service. They can log in off-site and really help and support our network and that build-out. We've done a tremendous amount of upgrades in the last 3 or 4 years, and I give the IT staff a lot of credit for pushing some of these software improvements in place. We had open networks 3 years ago that you could go to different facilities and get onto our network. Those have been all closed, and you'll see the upgrades. Obviously, we've seen some of the attacks that we've had, but they've not penetrated our firewalls, and without the support of this, we would be in a different spot than we were before Empiric was in here. They are critical to our infrastructure and the whole background of what our IT system looks like.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Boyer? If not, I'm looking for a motion to approve.
Chair, I move to approve the technology management contract with Empiric Solutions Incorporated for the period of March 1st, 2024 through February 28th, 2025 in an amount not to exceed $135,144 for the 12 months under the contract and authorize the county administrator to sign the contract on behalf of the Board of Commissioners.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion or questions on the motion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Loffbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes. That is the end of new business. We're down now to appointments. First is a resignation from the land bank. And we need a motion to accept Mr. Bayek's.
Chair, I move to accept the resignation of Jim Bayek from Land Bank Authority.
Second.
A motion is second. Roll call.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Loffbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Motion carries. Next is Northern Lakes Economic Alliance. We have three names up for reappointment. Looking for a motion to approve those three names.
Chair, I'll make a motion to approve all three gentlemen for reappointment.
I'll second.
Motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Loffbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Next, we're into communications. Mr. Boyer, these are just to be received, or do they need to be acted on?
Just to be received.
We have a resolution of appreciation from the Planning Commission, and we have a resolution of appreciation from the Zoning Board of Appeals. Planning Commission is for David Loffbaum. Board of Appeals is for Jay Mallett. Those will be forwarded to them?
Yes.
Thank you. We're into committee reports. Mr. Loffbaum, do you want to start us off?
Okay, the Airport Committee, Tuesday, January 9th. We elected Tom Fairburn again as chairman. Yourself as vice chair. Pretty much routine business. Fuel sales up 8,000 gallons. Passenger count down 11%. We approved a landing lease, a lease for Hoppy's Landing, and we renewed a 2024 hangar lease renewal. And then on my planning commission that met February 8th at 7 p.m. here, We had several items on the docket. The first item was Blaine Levine from Leasing Road in Carp Lake. We questioned a special use permit. We granted that 6-0. Second item was Alan Watterson, a special use permit for a home-based business on Cedar Valley Road. That was also granted 6-0. Third request from Patricia Stewart for an accessory building exception, an accessory building without a main use, a special permit. She requested a postponement on that due to the fact that she wanted to get a survey. And speaking of surveys, there has been some talk in this planning commission at a previous meeting that there was consideration to pass this as a proposal to make all applicants get a survey before we consider their case. I'm kind of hoping that doesn't pass because a survey now probably would be around $1,500 and with the $550 that an applicant has to pay for to bring the case to us, it would be well over $2,000 for them. And so I'm kind of hoping we don't mandate that survey. A fourth item, Donald Jude across from the Pelson Airport for the car repair shop. The county has been working with him for quite a while on trying to get him to move a trailer. They asked him to remove the trailer or get a permit for it. And it sounds like we're going to work with him for a while longer yet. And recreational vehicles, we're having a lot of comment on that. And we're going to have a public comment meeting. And then there's accessory buildings, a lot of discussion on that. And that's going to the townships, and we're waiting to hear back from them. And that is it. The next meeting is going to be March 7th at 7 p.m. here.
That's your report?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Aarons.
Okay. We heard from our VSO, but I would like to report on our fallen heroes, as I usually do, for the months of October, November, and December 2023. October was Daniel L. Goldsmith, Roger W. Mays, Rex L. Beach, Donald H. Davidson, John W. Fisher, Gerald V. Chingwa, Thomas Grosskopf, Leroy E. Sutphin. November was James R. Cassidy, Gerald J. Keller, Larry L. Cartwright, Ronald L. Moore, Diane S. Halford, Lawrence St. Clair, Clyde Sazowski. Forgive me if I pronounce that wrong. December was Robert Smith, Daniel Simon, Louis Schumber, William Baumgartner, and Charles Keller. Northern Michigan Counties Association doesn't meet in January. Let's see here. The ZBA met on the 23rd at 6 p.m. We had a full house. It was an interesting evening. It was my first CBA meeting, and quite passionate talk. It's about the Crooked Lake Yacht Club and the water effect setback variance they asked for. That was remanded from the court back to our ZBA from a previous decision, and the judge wanted more detail on every point of why it was refused to begin with. The last EBA decision. So we did that. We went through every single point that the judge wanted us to go through and gave reasons for everything. So we dotted our I's and crossed our T's, and hopefully that's all the end of that now. It was refused, so the applicants have to remove about 5 foot closest to the lake of their patio. Okay. We had Premier Hospitality LLC asking for a height increase for a hotel they want to build. next to our 911 building. And we gave them a variance on their height increase. It's going to be a three-story building. I believe three or four. Is it four? I can't remember right at the moment now. But it's well within what we can handle as far as the fire departments and such. We're in a they gave us a promise they're going to make sure that it doesn't interfere with our 911 tower. That will be done. This has to come before the Planning Commission anyway, too. So, and that was it. It was a long meeting because of the first thing with Crooked Lake Yacht Club. A lot of passionate people about that. So everybody wanted to have their say, and they did. Okay. Let's see. January 25th, Land Bank met here in this room. Basically, going over old business and updates on old business with the Miller Road renovation. That seems to be finally wrapping up. We gave the applicant some extra time to accomplish some repairs, and that's worked out just great. You know, there's no reason to hurry as long as it was getting accomplished bit by bit, and it finally is done now, so that's good. We sold a lot on Wildwood Road, Petoskey, and that's going to be developed into a home site. We also did some maintenance on all these moving parts of the Maple Block Flats in Petoskey. That was just some, let's see, we got this right here. We had to make some agreements it's all about timing of RFPs and such to clean up the site and make sure that everything keeps moving forward in a good fashion. That's kind of just some detail work with that. And that was it for that meeting. I missed the health board meeting because I was away out of town. I did attend it online and listen to it. There is a concern that by people in other counties that are part of the Northwest Michigan Board of Health that the meeting being held in Charlevoix all the time is inconvenient for people from other counties. And there's people wishing that we would move it around from county to county to be more fair. Staff is looking into the feasibility of that. Whether that works or not, we'll see. It's a lot of staff time and it's more money. Obviously, it's going to be more money. And it may or may not be able to happen. I don't know. I mean, we could certainly handle it here in this room, but I'm not sure every county has the ability to do that.
Actually, I don't think we can handle it in here because they're looking for seating for 16, microphones for 16, and the number of public that come during the business day, they're running during the daytime. So I know that we've had some conversations with them. It would be challenging during the daytime here because of the tight parking and the building being open. But we'll continue to look at it. As you recall, the larger meetings that they have, when we have larger meetings, we're going into the courtrooms, the extra rooms. We'll continue to try to work with them, but I don't think this room will work for their meeting.
Yeah.
Just because of 16 microphones, 16, because of the staff they have, 16 stations, we don't have that here.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be some of it a challenge, and there's currently some logistic challenges with their feeds, too. I think that's why they like going to the Shirley Raphael building because they have it's their boardroom and set up for that, but it's a bigger room than we have.
Yeah. So it's nice to. I mean, I had that kind of an idea before myself about our own county meetings, and I realized the logistics once I was in here and doing this that wouldn't happen. But the as far as the time of the meeting during the day, it does. I mean, I had this. We dealt with this ourselves with our committees and such. years ago here, where it did exclude a good portion of the public that are working people. You know, I mean, they can't attend meetings during the day. And I understand that concern very much. And so I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed to having it be a night meeting myself so that more people could attend easier. I mean, it is a four-county thing, so I sympathize with people who have to drive a long ways, but we do have it online, you know, and I was online from Florida listening to it. I couldn't vote or anything, so, but I could understand what was going on, and I was kept aware of what was happening, so, yeah.
Excuse me if I could make a comment about
sure.
the daytime versus the nighttime. Don went to a daytime meeting for his township, and there was nobody there. And I went to a nighttime meeting last Tuesday for my township, and there was nobody there also. So daytime, nighttime, I think you're going to always have this problem, and you do have it online.
Yeah.
That capability.
Yeah. I think as more and more people get used to and comfortable with going online and attending a meeting, and the more we can facilitate that, of course, we have some bills in our House of Representatives right now about that, about our Open Meetings Act and what we can do online, what we can't do online. We're looking to make some changes. We'll see if we get more participation like we had in the past during the pandemic online. We had a lot of people online. So, I mean, there's like 70 people or more in some meetings. And they got their to say their piece. They got to speak and everything, and it all worked out fine. So, especially in inclement weather like we have today, I mean, more people being able to participate is good. And that's my report.
Thank you, Mr. Aaron.
Yep.
Mr. Bates, that eliminates one of my reports. But that's fine.
Just update. I think that IT, I think, is going to be able to step up probably for the health board and make it available live to more people. I mean, it is live now by Zoom. There was a couple of recommendations that Facebook Live, I think Antrim County has their meetings on Facebook Live. That makes it so people can participate and be involved in the meetings live as it's going on. So they'll be looking into that. I think they'll be looking into that kind of stuff more so, because Antrim County is definitely wouldn't be able to support anything like that. They were just kind of like shaking their heads when it was even mentioned what they would do with that. So, all right. I had a Straits Regional Ride meeting at 9 a.m. on January 24th. We talked about passenger and financial report showing that the ridership again was down for Emmett County in the first quarter of 24 compared to last quarter, 22-23. Also, revenues were down as well, showing a deficit in their final budget of approximately $24,000, which they addressed will be coming out of their reserve fund that they started. Also, there was discussion for bus routes for early voting, and there's been some expectations and some asks regarding bus routes, and the board made the decision not to commit to bus routes because of all the logistics that would be involved in that, doubling back and everything else, and it wouldn't be cost effective as the way they're doing it right now to do that. And then we got an update on the construction study for the new bus facility, and that meeting adjourned at 9:30. Had Road Commission 126 at 8 o'clock in the morning. They approved did their usual public business. There was a public hearing that morning for Roy Road project. There was no public or written comments, and also there was an appointment with Todd Wyatt, who was there via Zoom regarding a driveway that he is interested in putting in on Anderson Road above across from the entrance to the Bear Creek Commons Apartments. There's a development up on that hill that he wants to put in up there. There was discussion on that, and that Zoom lasted about 15 minutes. Then they went into awarding bids on five projects. It all came back 18% under bid expectations. So bids are really coming in low because they started early. And that was advantageous for them to do it. They're reaping the rewards. The villages and townships are saving a lot of money. Staff
staff reports also included that there were four bridges in the county that will not handle a 25% overload, meaning that they're nearing replacement in the future. New truck that was ordered is now in the build stage. They're happy to hear that. That building adjourned at 8:30. Would you like me to leave you something to do and you cover the second one?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I'll do it.
Keep rolling.
On the 9th of February at 8 a.m., there was another open hearing at 8:10 for the discussion of three projects. There was no written or public comments, so that meeting was adjourned at 8:12. Back into regular meetings, the Road Commission moves through their meetings pretty fast. Little Traverse Township's got them beat, but still. Let's see. There were bids awarded for six road projects. Again, all projects came in below budget expectations, averaging 20% under bid expectations. Plus, there was a bid awards for various goods and services the commission will use throughout the year. There was a total of eight of those. The highlight of the staff reports for me was the finance, where I reported the road commission ended the year with a $575,000 income over expenses. That adjourned at 8:45. We had the DPW meeting on the 8th at 8:30 after the financial report revealed a $70,000 shortfall in the year ending budget due to low market values on recycled materials. Andy reported that the shortfall would be covered from the enterprise fund, which has a healthy balance currently. And in operations update part 115, the committee commissions are mostly filled and is moving along. She's reported she's got a lot of good response back from people that she's invited to fill those positions. So that part of our responsibility is coming along well. And then, again, the opening of the solid waste program that's required by the state. We're still looking for staff. I see that since this meeting we have hired one DPW attendant, and we're still looking for a recycling processor. Jane reported there's a lot of interest in them. It's that deal where they always get like 70 applications or something like that, and by the time you sort it all out, there's two good ones or maybe one. Anyway, they're still looking for a recycling center. Andy reported that she's reached out to RS Consulting to help her maneuver through all the requirements from the state and that solid waste update. Because they are familiar with our county operations, it will be a big help. That meeting adjourned at 8:50. Board of Health has already been covered. Thank you, Neil. Bay Bluffs will be meeting next Thursday, the 22nd at 10 a.m. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Reyes. Mr. Gunn?
I had no meetings this round, except for the township's meetings, of course. The township, Springvale Township's looking to buy a new fire truck for the fire department, so we're putting out, looking for where we can buy one. Maybe we'll borrow the airport's fire truck.
Don't want to use that one.
Thank you, Mr. Kowalski.
Okay, Parks and Rec, we met February 6th. We heard a presentation by Lisa Clavlier from Charlotte Antrim Child County Child Abuse Council Director regarding installation of life jacket loaner library stands at public beaches. And we decided to have Camp Petasiga be the first one to have one of those installed. So it's a wooden stand, and there'll be a dozen or 15 life jackets if a family shows up and their little child doesn't have any, like a life jacket, they can borrow one and take it out and swim in it. When they're done, they can put it back. And it's not going to cost us anything. They're trying to get donors to help pay for those. They're about $1,500 per station, including the 15 or so life jackets. And other counties have done these, and it has been quite useful. And we think that once we get one in Hammock County, that it'll spread. We had a brief discussion on the 2023 annual report for the Headlands. Attendance at presentations were up 41% over 2022. May 2nd through October 8th, the average nighttime visits averaged nearly 252 people per night, per evening, which is impressive. That's pretty good. New parking lot at McGlupin Point Lighthouse is being constructed. Hazardous trees were removed at Camp Petasiga. and they've mentioned the kids' ice fishing event has been canceled due to poor ice conditions. DPW, Don mentioned the Part 115 materials management plan is being updated, and the county board will be appointing an 11-person committee in the next couple of months. 2023 budget revenues were down $273,000 due to lower returns on recycling materials. Overall expenditures were up $124,000 over 2022. And the overall budget came in at a loss of $70,000, which wasn't too bad based on the cost of the recycling materials. And the next meeting is going to be February 27th. And we did have a fairgrounds meeting February 8th at the EMS building on Epler Road. And we discussed the MAFE convention, that's the Michigan Association of Fairs convention. Several of the people, including Pam, attended that. Sound like they had a good time. But they brought some good ideas back from other counties on how to improve our fair. They heard an acoustic guitar player. His name is Waylon Hanel. And we asked him to open for Trace Atkins. He has some local connections, and he's only going to charge us $1,000 to do that. So.
And he's opened for Trace before.
Yeah, he has, down in Flint. We discussed additional parking options that we discussed prior to this. And did hear that Johnson Bus Services agreeing to add additional busing for the event, but like they said, there's still them choke points. But and then we discussed perhaps having a fundraising dinner and an auction, perhaps the Monday of the fair week to add up some additional funding. And the first day of the advertising for the Trace Atkins concert, there was 2,000 Facebook likes, and the 4 days after advertising. On 102.9 Big Country, and as you heard earlier, 1,100 tickets have been sold to date already. Neil and I did attend the MAC Transportation Committee meeting via Zoom on January 26th, and we heard that there is a $3.9 billion per year shortfall to fix roads, and MITA, which is the Michigan Infrastructure and Transportation Association, will be spearheading the efforts to increase road funding, working with a lot of the governmental agencies, including MAC, to help do that. But $3.9 billion is a huge dollar amount. We need about double money that's coming in currently. Mm-hmm. That's my report.
Thank you, Mr. Coots.
Yeah, so my meeting with the Historical Commission was canceled this month, so I don't have anything else to report.
No history.
Yes. Lack of agenda items.
I'll go back to the county board. The fundraising idea, we'll give credit to Pam, brought it from another fair downstate. Brian covered pretty well the concert and everything. I would like to give a thank you to Art Shaw and company for renovating our information office and for upgraded security and safety, and there will be some cash handling changes made there. North Country Mental Health met last January, just before this board meeting. Erie Kuntz, who is the president of the NMRE, which is the Northern Michigan Regional Entity, which is the organization that our state funds are funneled through, gave us an update and also gave a very high praise to Emmett County for the development of a drug court. On February 1st, I attended by Zoom the Area on Aging of Northwest Michigan. General housekeeping was taken care of. Financial overview of the organization was presented, and we did our first budget amendment. Now that final funding has come from the state and federal government. Don gave a very good report on the road commission. The TAC committee did not meet in January. Central Dispatch had their monthly board meeting on January 23rd. Election of officers with John Wallace as chair, Chris Christensen as vice chair from Charlevoix County, John's from Sheboygan, and myself from Emmett as the secretary. Our executive director is retiring. The board appointed the assistant director to be the interim director. And there will be continued discussion regarding the executive director's position and hiring of a new director at the February board meeting. And that is my report. Anything else from anybody? We are now to the part of the program, or the after committee reports, which is public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board has 3 minutes. Come to the podium. I see no one rushing the podium. So the announcements. The next Board of Commissioners will be in the month of March, March 4th, 2024 at 6 p.m. here in the Board of Commissioners room, 200 Division Street, Petoskey, Michigan. We're now to the point of adjournment. Is there a motion?
So moved.
I'll second. Motion and support. Any discussion?
Support.
Hearing.
Aye.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We are adjourned.